Now we will look at certain incentives from the perspective of non-financial aspect. So we've till this particular moment in time looked at financial incentives, whether they were provident fund, whether they were bonuses, commissions, gratuity, superannuations, but there is also a need to retain people despite having the standard financial measures. And hence, there is a great requirement for non-financial incentives to boost the morale of the people who work for their respective organizations. Now, great managers need also to be experts at keeping employees engaged. Companies with highly engaged employers are more productive. They have a good 21% higher productivity, and staff are more likely to stick around. Now, this is according to a recent Gallup poll survey done. The top three non-financial incentives that were found in this particular poll were praise and commendation from immediate managers, attention from leaders, and opportunities to lead projects or task forces. So these were some of the top non-financial incentives that were identified. The most popular incentive on the survey was praise from the boss. So we're basically referring to a Gallup poll, which was done a few years ago. And these were the findings. We are continuing with the findings in the slide from the previous one. The second most popular one was attention from leaders. So these may be some management people who tend to notice you. The least popular was stock or stock options, which is a financial incentive, yeah? So all three of the non-financial incentives were more popular than the leading financial incentives, as can be seen. Now, most types of non-financial incentives fall into four buckets, yeah? Recognition, which we can see over here in this column, reward, which can be seen here, opportunity, and flexibility. Okay, so what I would request you is to take a pause, a brief pause, and take a good look at each of these. And I will also read a few of them from each category. For example, award presentation in front of peers is a great form of recognition, usually done in the town halls or R&R ceremonies. Similarly, a reward in the form of a voucher or in form of prizes or gift cards is something which helps the employee. Opportunity in the form of chance to lead teams or a paid training or a promotion, and flexibility in the form of paid personal days, flexible schedules. Like today in this day and age of the pandemic, we see that people have a hybrid mode of working. They have a flexible, more of a flexible schedule. So if work is happening from home, they are not required to commute to the workplace, and several others. So effective non-financial incentives for employees reach out and they touch the emotions to make the employee feel welcomed, appreciated, and valued. Companies need, in this context, to remember that employees get why companies are cutting costs. So that said, non-financial incentives for employees cannot feel or look cheap. So they cannot be an alternative for cutting costs. That is what is important. If they do, they will be more detrimental than helpful because they breed resentment. So employees will start resenting non-financial incentives if they are cheap or they are a substitute in a non-genuine fashion. So now we've reached a point in time in this particular chapter where we are going to discuss something very interesting and important, which is the cost to company and the process of calculating this. So just imagine your company offered you a salary of 6 lakh rupees per year. That means you should be getting 50,000 in hand every month, correct? Like 50,000 multiplied by the 12 months will get you 6 lakhs. Even if you consider income tax, you should be getting around 40,000 in hand. correct? But you only get 32,000 in hand every month. Why? Where did the promised money vanish? Is your company cheating you? Are some of the important questions that come in the minds of people who join organizations. And the answer is no. It is because the company promised you the salary as cost to company or a CTC. So through this example and the further simplification in the next slides, we will understand the concept of cost to company or CTC. So what exactly is CTC? Let's see. Simply put, CTC is the amount that an employer costs, sorry, that an employee costs to the company. Salaries in India are quoted in terms of CTC or the cost to the company. Now, CTC is nothing but the cost that the company incurs to employ a person and keep him or her employed. It includes the pay and anything else that the company may incur to keep someone in employment. It's important because a lot of components of the CTC may not translate into actual take-home cash every month. This is what is important to realize, students. I'll read it again. It is important because a lot of components of the CTC may not translate into actual take-home cash every month. That is the reason why a CTC of 6 lakhs does not translate into 50,000 rupees of net monthly payment. Let's understand this further. Some of the important things to keep in mind are that certain components of the cost to company may not be cash or take-home components. Thus, a company may beef up your CTC. Beef up means they might build up or increase your CTC with components that really don't translate into month-end cash or may have just a notional set of components. Notional means virtual or ideational. Some examples include value of perquisites is included. So if you are provided with a company accommodation, car, driver, child education expenses, and so on, the value of these get included in the CTC. So these will never be given to you as a cash component. Yeah? So if they've already paid for a house at their end, why would they pay you another additional component? If they are providing, let's say a general manager of a prominent bank is being provided with a car and a company driver, and this features in the CTC, they will not pay another additional amount towards the same header. This is the actual understanding of a CTC. Certain components, again, as was mentioned, may not be the cash components. Thus, the company may include the cost of group medical or life insurance premium paid on their part as a component in the CTC. Some companies may add food subsidies. That is, you may be getting a subsidy on your lunch in the office canteen. So, in the office canteen, if the price of a meal actually is 250 rupees and you're getting a subsidy of 150, you're only paying 100. That subsidy is also being considered as a component in the CTC and is thus not a cash component. Some other aspects may include gratuity in the CTC. So companies can include gratuity, that is their part, which is a sort of a bonus that is paid out when you resign or retire after 5 years. Okay, the catch. So the catch or the trick is you're entitled to gratuity only after completing 5 years. So let's say person A, Mr. A, retires from a manufacturing concern or is resigning after 4.5 years. Their entitlement to gratuity is invalid. They will not get any sort of a gratuity. On the other hand, person B resigns from let's say a chemical industry, after 8 years, they are entitled to gratuity, which will be built up in their CTC component. The other aspect would be deductions, which further reduce the monthly take home. So even after you have arrived at the cash value of your take home, there are certain more deductions that are taken into consideration. Now, one of the most important deductions in the country that we live in, that is India, is income tax. So it is nothing but the taxes withheld from your income by the company. So this is also a standard sort of a deduction. Another aspect in addition to the income tax will be a professional tax deduction being made every month. So this is again proving to be a sort of a reduction in your monthly takeaway. What else is, you know, a deduction? A lot of companies may allow you to choose the components in your salary. For instance, they may allocate a certain amount as a flexi pay component. Within this amount, you will be able to choose components such as HRA, which is nothing but the house rent allowance, the medical reimbursements, and a few other aspects, depending on what may be tax efficient for you. So whatever gives you a rebate or a reduction in the tax that you pay to the government may feature as a flexi pay component. And these are very popular and are explained. So certain companies, they have in-house specialists. Certain companies hire the services of external consultants to make folks or employees, their employees, aware of these nitty-gritties related to calculating the cost to company. The other deduction is your contribution to the provident fund. This amount is deducted from your monthly salary and is deposited in the provident fund that you will receive post your resignation or retirement. This is your contribution and comes out from nowhere else but your monthly salary, thus again reducing your take home. Again, a lot of companies make this deduction optional, but it would be a wise aspect for you to save in this particular component. So many a times employees, they tend to spend more than they earn and hence are always ridden with debt. Now, to reduce that debt, a wise decision would be to allow this deduction to happen and contribute in your way to the provident fund, which you will receive as a lump sum when you retire or when you resign from a company after a considerable duration of service time. The next component which needs to be kept in mind is the annualized and set of variable components. There are certain components that are paid out in an annual manner and they are subject to your performance. Now, these do not become a part of your monthly take home. Examples include LTA, which is popular, which is known as leave travel allowance, which can be in cash, and the annual bonuses. In many organizations, there's also a component of a variable pay, which is only payable in case of extraordinary performance. Now, variable salaries can range between 15 to 50% for programmers. The variable pay would be around 15% of the CTC. While for marketing professionals, it could go as high as 50%. So it depends upon where you're looking at, what sort of profession are you looking at. Now, as we know, in 2008, there was this particular recession. It was a crisis. And most companies paid out the variable pay components in full, but that has changed now. So many a times the companies go out of their way to support people, and these particular components can be a part of your monthly takeaway as well, as seen here. Now, the next component can be an ESOP, which we've already studied. Okay, it's an employee stock option. We have studied companies which give a put or a call option having a certain strike price. Okay, and these can be also provided to mid-level management folks and above. Okay, which turns out to be over and above the cost to company. The company gives employees an option to purchase stocks at a certain future date at a discounted price. So they get options, okay, of a specific organization, maybe the same organization if they are participating, or other organizations which are prominent. Now, as the value of the company scrip increases, the employee stands to earn capital gains. So let's suppose I am a Tata employee and I have been given stock options of my same group company. Now what happens is, if I have a call option and if the company's price increases, the share price increases by 40 rupees and I hit a certain value, I can sell those options to gain a profit. So this is known as the ESOPs, or employee stock options. While ESOPs might seem attractive when the company HR presents the numbers, it is important to look into the fine print. Okay. Now, since I have certain experience with ESOPs, having worked closely with the ESOP department in a prior organization, I also work with certain options which relate to indices. There are some issues. First, people do not realize that there is a certain vesting period. So in terms of company ESOPs, there might be a vesting or a sort of a time when the ESOPs can mature. The second issue is with the strike price. So if you have a call option and your stock option has not reached that call strike, then you will not be able to exercise it or earn any profit. So these are certain things which need to be considered for employee stock options. It should also be, we should understand the following things that are important for creating ideal salary structures. So now we are looking at objectives that relate to a perfect CTC, or designing a good, a systematic CTC. So it should be firstly tax efficient. This means that it should give employees the opportunity to save as much tax as possible. You remember we have talked about saving tax through the flexi pay option components of a CTC. The CTC should also result in reduction of the employer's liability. Now, what do we mean by that? The employer is deemed to contribute to the provident fund. We all know this, the gratuity, etc. So this should be kept as low as possible from the employer's perspective. It should be compliant. Compliance norms like minimum wages and PF laws should be kept in mind while drafting the salary structure. So this is also what is important. Now, here are certain components which are an integral part of the CTC. The first one is the basic salary plus the dearness allowance. I'm sure most of us are aware of this component. Okay. Now, this is the primary and the core component of the salary structure. The basic plays an important role in defining the salary, as other components like provident fund, gratuity, and the, the group insurance or the ESIC are dependent upon it. So these will be proportional to the basic pay. This is what is important while determining the CTC components. So after having seen the role of the basic element, that is basic salary, we also look at the dearness allowance. Now, what is dearness? Dearness is nothing but things that is close to us and it can help us survive. Now, this was introduced as a part of the salary as a means to reduce the burden of inflation. So we have seen that today the inflation is rapidly growing, not just in India or the states in India, but also across the globe. In fact, some places are experiencing hyperinflation. So in order to curb the influence of inflation, this component is added to the basic salary in the cost to you know the company. This amount is usually set to about 5% of the total CTC, and like the basic components, it also has an effect on the PF, the ESIC, the gratuity, etc. The next important component that is to be understood is the house rent allowance or HRA. And as the name suggests, it is a component that employees can leverage if they are living in rented accommodations. For example, if somebody is new to Mumbai and has come for a job, they will not instantly purchase an apartment. They will rent some accommodation till they are able to, you know, finalize a place if that may be affordable to them. Okay, so they will, according to their affordability, they will check. In the meantime, they will stay on a rented accommodation and they can use it as a tax benefit component. The amount that you can claim as a tax deduction under HRA cannot be more than 50% of your basic in a metro city like Mumbai or Chennai or Bangalore, Kolkata, or 40% of your basic in a non-metro. So this is what is important to understand. Hence, depending on where your workplace is located, this salary component will usually be set at 40 or 50% of the basic salary. The next important component is the LTA or the leave travel allowance, which I'm sure many of the tenured employees who are watching this will know. Now, LTA remunerates employees for their travel within the country. This component is widely used by employers due to the tax benefits associated with it. So it again comes under a sort of a tax rebate that you will receive after filing for the annual taxes. An employee can claim tax benefits for the fare expenses paid for his or her family when they take a holiday, hence the name leave travel allowance, and it can be again put under for a tax benefit. However, there are certain restrictions to what you can claim as a tax rebate or a benefit, which should be understood clearly before moving on to the next component. And this is only fare expenses. So you have to understand that only the fare or the ticket expenses are covered. Okay. Stay and food cannot be covered. So if you're taking a trip probably to the hill station of say Shimla, and you're traveling by a train or an aeroplane to the nearby place where you can then move there, so your trip will be covered in the sense your ticket will be covered, but not the stay in Shimla or the food that you consume. Travel must be within India. That's the reason why I specifically mentioned Shimla. If you travel to a foreign country, like if you're going to Malaysia or you're going to Europe to some country, the expenses are not tax deductible. Only travel within the country is covered under LTA. What counts as family also has to be understood. So you cannot, your friends are not entitled to LTA. So immediate family that are mainly dependent on the employee are covered under this particular scheme. The next component of the CTC is known as the conveyance allowance. Now, conveyance is nothing but the commuting that is done, the traveling that is done between the home and the workplace. And of course, with the petrol prices going up, this is also a cause of concern and is thus paid to employees. The maximum amount that is tax deductible under this component is ₹1,600. Okay, or 1,600 a month, which amounts to 19,200 rupees in a year. The next sort of allowance is that of the medical allowance, which is paid as a reimbursement for the medical expenses borne by the employees. Now, in order to claim tax benefits under this component, employees need to submit proof of their medical expenses. This amount is tax deductible as well, up to rupees 15,000 a year or rupees 1250 every month. This means that a cumulative amount of 15,000 can be claimed at the end of the year as a rebate or a deduction in your taxed amount. The next important component, which is a part of the CTC, is the component of child education allowance. Now, this is paid out towards the tuition fees of employees' children and is tax deductible up to rupees 100 every month for a maximum of 2 children. Hence, this amount is usually set to not more than 2400 rupees a year for an employee. Now, along with the other allowances, there is also a component known as special allowance, which is a balancing component of the salary structure. It is usually used by organizations as the leftover of the CTC when the rest of the components have been paid out. This component is fully taxable and is also taken into account for calculation of the provident fund. Now, CTC deductions are also important elements of the salary that are part of the CTC but are deducted from the in-hand salary that the employees receive. One of the important or the most important deductible is the provident fund or PF, and is usually calculated at 12% of basic plus dearness plus special allowance, these which we have seen earlier. The employer and the employee both make an equal contribution of 12% each. And this is applicable to companies who have 20 or more employees on their payroll. Now, we've already taken a look at the provident fund earlier. We will just, you know, revise this or review this as a part of the deduction component. So if an employee's basic plus dearness plus special allowance are less than 15,000, then it is mandatory for provident fund to be deducted. Other employees can opt out by filling the form 11, or can choose to have PF deducted on the ceiling of rupees 15,000, which would be rupees 18,000 monthly. So 1800 monthly would move into the PF account. Employees State Insurance Corporation, or ESIC in short, this is also a deduction which is mandatory for employees whose gross salary is not more than 15,000. It is only applicable in companies where there are 20 or more employees within the 15,000 rupees gross salary bracket. Employees have to make a contribution of 1.75% of the gross salary, and employers have to make a contribution of 4.75% of the gross salary to create a corpus for the ESIC. The next deductible or deduction is the professional tax, which is the tax levied by the governments of certain states on the salaried employees, and these are the states that are a part. You might just want to pause the video and briefly run through the list of states listed here. The next one is the Labor Welfare Fund. As the name suggests, is a contribution made by the salaried employees for the benefit of the labor class. Now, this is applicable again in these particular Indian states, which you might want to just take a pause and read through. From this context, the contribution amount, as stated, okay, is, you know, levied by a few states, and it varies from state to state and is relatively small. The employer and the employee both make contributions, and the employer pays approximately twice the contribution of the employee. Like professional tax, labor welfare fund contributions also vary from state to state where they are applicable. There are certain reimbursements which are also parts of the other components of the CTC. So various reimbursements that one gets from the company can form a part, These include medical bills, phone bills, magazine subscription related amounts, and amounts for book purchases on the production of bills for the same. Now, the next component or a part of the CTC is life insurance and health insurance. So most organizations provide free health insurance cover to their employees and their dependents. Some companies also provide life insurance free of cost to their employees. The premium amount paid for such an insurance on an employee's behalf can be counted as a part of the CTC. Medical facilities such as in-house healthcare centers, hospital or other healthcare facilities where medical care is provided free of cost is also included by a lot of companies in their CTC. So companies work out a per employee cost for such facilities and may include that in one's CTC. The next part is that of the transport facilities. So many companies provide the free transport facilities for their employees from the resident to the place of work and back. The cost of such a facility may be included in one's CTC. Finally, they also provide subsidized meals, which we had discussed earlier. So many companies run canteens or cafeterias that provide meals to the employees at a subsidized rate. The cost may be included in one's CTC as well. So we have in this chapter looked at the various incentives, bonus schemes in the form of financial and non-financial schemes, profit sharing, as well as the various components of cost to company. Thank you.